Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Right, I begin here. I need all those rulers. Okay, I need the rulers that you made. So you want to bring them up here to me? Wait. I need Joe's and Jim's separate. Man, look at that. Come here. All right. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, cool. Okay. Anybody else got one? All right. All right. Man, these are nice. These are nice. Now, what we're going to do, and I appreciate all you guys doing this, and I'm not, I'm not going to knock anybody in doing this, because some of these are really, really nice. I mean, they are. They look really nice. These are, I had them make rulers, and this one says Michaela. And not only does she know rulers, but she also knows fractions too, apparently. So, you know what? I don't believe that, Michaela. I don't believe that. Maybe if I took the A off of here. Michael. Right? Okay. I'm doing this for illustration purposes only. Because hopefully everybody here has an idea in their mind of how much an inch. In fact, let me do this. If you would, just kind of put your hands up like this on what you think is about a foot. Okay? About a foot. Oh, look what Joe's got a plan here. Joe did this. So is that about a foot, Joe? It's what? An inch? Yeah, I've got a my little knuckle here is about an inch, and if I got to measure something that's a couple inches, I'll use that. You know, a lot of times. Okay, you can quit doing that. That's yeah. Score. Okay, and if I need to measure something and kind of get a rough idea, I'll use that. Or you know, if we step off something, my feet just happen to be a foot. Imagine that. Okay. And so we usually, or sometimes we'll step off something in yards. I've seen some of you, and you know exactly how to do yards. Matthew is doing a marching band, and he's learning to take 8 steps in 5 yards. And I told him the other day, I think I can still step off 8 steps in 5. I think I can still do it after 30-some-odd years. He don't believe me, so he's going to test me one of these days. But anyway, we all have these little ways of measuring things. And you like to say we use our finger, or Joe did this, and he says that's about a foot, right? Okay. And so I had every, you know, like the young people and a couple of our experts draw out a foot with inches on it. And what I'm going to do is, now I have up here a Stanley power lock. Okay. Does everybody know what this is? Okay. How many of you use Stanley tools, Stanley tape measures, measure things like that? You use them, Joe? Is yours a Stanley? Okay, they make good stuff, don't they? Do you consider this reliable? Do you get it broke in good? Yeah, till this thing kind of bends and it gets stretched out, then it adds another quarter inch to it, right? But we count on this to be reliable, don't we? We have carpenters, we have bricklayers, and we have drywallers, and we have all kinds of people. We have concrete finishers. We all have them in construction. We have guys who are doing iron work, those who are doing sheet metal and everything like that. And we all count on these guys to use this instead of this, don't we? And so if somebody says, hey, Joe, cut this board now. We need it 9 feet and 4 inches. Joe's not going to go, one, two. And if he does, I would not trust that board. Okay? So, and like I say, I'm not here to knock what these kids did. They did a beautiful job here. But I'm going to use this that everybody agrees is right. And I'm going to use it to measure this. So here is Mikhail us. Okay? Now, his inch here is about an inch and a half. His inch here is about an inch and a half. So this one we can't use. Here's another one here. And they've got inches here, and I'm going to measure that one real quick. And their inch is about an inch and a quarter. This one here, this one looks nice. Oh, I won't get to that one yet. This one looks nice. And this inch here is about an inch and 6/8, inch and 3/4. Here, this one says Isaac, and I don't buy that one either. Wow. Now, on this one, the first inch was pretty close. The second one was not as close, and then the inches got shorter as they went along. So I can't use that one either. And you know what I'm seeing so far? Even the ones that were drawn by the children, they're all different. They're all different. This one, if I were to just kind of guess, that looks pretty close. But I hold it up here. And the first inch is right. And somebody cheated on this one. Somebody cheated on that one. Somebody used a ruler on this one. Because it's... I take that back now. The first inch is close. The second inch is close. The third one and fourth and fifth one. The sixth one and the seventh one are off. Okay? That's off. And then here's this one. And it actually has two sets of 12 inches in here. Crammed into one. That one we can't use. Here's one here. And it's about an inch and a half per inch. And the whole ruler here is 9 inches and not 12. Now, here's my two professionals. This is Jim's. Yeah. And you and straight lines don't get along very well, do you? Okay. And you use tape measures, don't you? No, not really? Okay. Well, that one don't work either. And then this is Joe's. Is it yours or Dee's? You drew it? I got it upside down. No wonder. No, wait. Oh, here we go. Okay. No, I'm sorry, Joe, you're off here. It's not perfect. Can't use this one either. So here's what we have. My illustration for the day. We have, how many do we have? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 9 different rulers up here, and we have 9 different standards from 9 different people. Okay? Now, you would kind of expect maybe that the youngest of them, they did their best. Okay? And you know, a lot of times we accept that. But you said something a while ago. You said something about it's almost right. Okay? And let me just say this. God loves us all. Do you believe that? Say amen. But being almost right and being right are two different things. Okay? We could not... these are nice to hang on the wall and look at and say, this is what my child done. But we couldn't use this to build anything in here, could we? We couldn't use one of them, and we couldn't use all of them together. I couldn't hand these out and say, now we're going to build a room here. Use this to measure with. We can't do that. Because it won't be right. Can I get you to say amen? Now, if I bought a bunch of these and handed them to everybody that was working and said, here, use this. This is the rule. This is the rule. This is the standard. If this says 12 inches, we know that that is 12 inches. And if I bought 25-foot Stanley power locks and gave them to everybody here and said, we're going to build this thing, here, do this. In fact, when you work with a bunch of guys or whatever in construction or even ladies, whatever, they're all using tape measures. And even if they're using a different company, those different companies all do what, Dee? They'll have the same measurement, don't they? Because there is an agreed upon standard. There's an agreed upon standard, and it's actually goes back to Great Britain. This is part of the King's measurement system. There is actually in Great Britain somewhere an exact thing that's in somewhere, something that is an exact foot. There is even in the United States of America, in one of these government repositories, there are weights and measures that are secured away that are set as the standard for the entire nation. If you go buy gas from some gas station and they're telling you that you put 10 gallons of gas in your vehicle for what it costs now, there better be 10 gallons of gas in that vehicle. And if you look on the pump, should be a little sticker on that pump that says that somebody from the government came by and checked that machine for accuracy. Because I know a guy that caught a gas station cheating on gas. They adjusted their pump, and they were putting in less gas than what the pump showed and making more money, and he caught them in it. And he called the government that had the standard, and they said, this is wrong according to our standard. And I want to tell you something. We cannot rule in civilization by saying everybody does what they want to do. You can't have it that way. By the way, when they start talking about our country being a democracy, we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be a representative republic, and there is a difference. Democracy says whatever the majority says, that's how it's going to be. What if the majority's wrong? A constitutional republic says that we have an agreed upon set of laws, and this is the final authority. It's like this tape measure here. And if I were to go to an old tool place or an old yard sale and buy a 50-year-old tape measure or one of them, you know, rollout that used to make them out of wood, and they used to flip them out like that, it would be the exact same measurement it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to change. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Now, do you agree upon that? Amen. I'm setting you up. Because if the rule says one thing and the man says another, which are you going to believe? Now, I've worked with this old guy here for years. First time I was a teenager. We were down at camp building those little class stations down there in the woods. You remember that? That was a long time ago. I saw this guy eyeball something, and he was right, and I'm going, how did you do that? He said, I measure with this eye and plumb with this one. I was amazed. Did you know this guy could look at a bolt or a screw, and he'll say, ah, that's a 7/16. When I go to it, I carry like 4 or 5 sockets in my hand. And I try them, and then I go get 3 more. Figure out which one it is, okay? But I want to tell you something. If it came down to my soul, and he said the exact measure is 7 feet 9 3/4 inches, just by looking at it, I don't think I want to trust him. I'm going to pull out the standard. Now, he may have gone behind my back and measured it to look smart, but I trust the standard. Amen. Appreciate you kids. I love you. Let's teach our children the standard. Amen. By the way, I'm against this invented spelling they're using in school. You know about that? Let's let kids just come up with however they're going to spell it. I don't think that's a good idea. Anyway. Do what? Yes! Amen, Dee! God bless you! If you're going to send someone a text message, spell the word. What is wrong with writing laugh out loud? What's wrong with that? Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Now, I'm setting you up here. I'm setting you up. Because there's a rule. There's a rule that all of us in church are supposed to be using. All of us religious men, all of us ministers and preachers and pastors and bishops and clergymen, there's a rule that we're all supposed to be using that will steer people straight and that will build a straight house. There's a rule that we're all supposed to be governing our lives by and our philosophies and our ideas. And that rule is supposed to be the Word of God. And the Word of God is supposed to be the same now and yesterday and tomorrow. Amen. And it's supposed to be the same here as it is in Britain, as it is in Poland, as it is in China, as it is in Africa. The Word and the rule is supposed to be the same no matter where you go. It's supposed to be the same. Exodus chapter 20, I'm preaching on the Ten Commandments. Let me ask you a question now. Is this the rule? Are we all in agreement here that this is the rule that we're going to use? This is the standard by which we're going to measure our lives. This is the plumb line, God said in the book of Amos. He said, I've set a plumb line in the midst of my people. And I want to tell you something. You can go around and break all the laws of God that you want to, but you cannot break gravity. A plumb line operates on gravity, doesn't it? And never in the history of the universe has a plumb line ever tilted like this and stayed. It might swing for a while, but eventually it stops and it's straight up and down. And God is establishing a standard by which we're to live. And God said, I set the plumb line, and this is the plumb line right here. This is the rule of faith and practice. This is the measurement by which we use to conduct our lives in our church services and to formulate our doctrines and opinions. Can I hear you say amen? And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let me hear God's people say amen. Do you consent to that? Say amen. Now the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. How many graven images are we allowed to make? Or any likeness of anything that is where? In heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now, I'll stop right here. I want you to think, let's think prophecy for a minute. In Revelation chapter 13, John said, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Did you know that later on in the book of Revelation, the false prophet causes everyone, he establishes an image of that beast that was under the water. And he causes all to worship the image of that beast. That is a direct violation of the second commandment. God said, number one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Now, he didn't start out by saying, thou shalt not worship the images. He started out by saying, don't make them. Because, and I'm going to get into something here. Somebody's going to end up mad. I don't hope it's not going to be you. But I'm talking about religious venerations. Things that are built in churches that ought not be built. And they're saying, we don't worship that. We simply venerate it. Number one, God said, don't even build it to begin with. So if you built it or condoned its building or went to a house of worship where it was, God said, don't even have them to begin with. Look around in this church. Do you see any statues of Jesus, Mary, Moses? Do you see anything like that in here? We're not going to have them here. All right. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Then he said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Ladies, know anything about jealousy? Know anything about jealousy? Your husband or boyfriend's pawing after some other gal and you know it. Let me hear some high-pitched amens. Boys, if you think your wife would be angry at you looking at some other woman, God's got your wife beat. God's not a wife beater. But he's got your wife beat by an entire universe. If you think if you think she can get jealous, you just hang on. God is a jealous God. He will not put up with your idol worship. He won't do it. He said, I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Did you see that there? You know what I just read? That if you're falling before an idol, you hate God. That's what I see here. And showing mercy unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Let's pray. I got to get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, help me to preach this message now. I need your help. And Lord, Father, we need help to receive it. Lord, help me to do it in clarity. Help me do it in love. And Lord, help me to do it in an appropriate time. And Lord, Father, you bless and you deal with hearts in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. If you can't read this, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 7. Read along with me. Here's what the Apostle Paul said concerning the law, concerning the Ten Commandments. By the way, there's 10 of them here, and they're not supposed to change. This is the rule, by the way. Amen. How many believe that it's a good rule so far? Do we accept this as the Word of God? Say amen. So know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. How many of you know them so far? Say amen. Yeah, you know two of them. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt not make any graven images. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Did you know that this law is over you and in authority over you as long as you're breathing God's air and laying upon his real estate? This law has dominion over you. You may not like it. You may want to disobey it, disrespect it. You might want to adopt the philosophy of some in Christianity who say, we don't have to keep the law anymore. That's under the law. We're under grace now. We can just do whatever we want to. That idea of doing whatever we want to is this right here. That's what you're seeing in a lot of churches is this. Every man is doing that which was right in his own eyes. This is why that none of these rulers that I had people draw, none of them match. None of them match. And I'm telling you that if the law was good enough for Moses and his people to live by, it's good enough for you to live by. Let me hear you say amen. Let me move on here. I wanted to make a point on this, but I'm going to move forward with this. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now I want to pull up some laws here. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Notice the phrase express image of his person. Do you know what God told the Israelites in conjunction with this second commandment? He told them, you have never seen me. You've never seen me. No man has ever looked upon the face of God the Father. No man has and lived. And he said, nobody has ever seen my face. Therefore, how can you carve an image out of me when you have never seen me? How can you do that? And so, number one, God says, don't carve the images because you don't know what I look like. But God said, I'm going to send someone who looks like me. It's his son. Amen? The son always turns out looking like the father. My wife points out to me, oh, you're just like your dad. Oh, you're like your dad in this. Oh, you're like your dad. Now, sometimes I think, wow, I'm like my dad. But sometimes I know what she's saying. And I go, I am not. And then I walk away and I'm going, yeah, you are. God sent his son, and the son said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. So watch this. Those who worship a statue are worshiping something that is to be the image of a God, and that image is dead. Those who worship Jesus as the express image of God the Father are worshiping someone that's not dead, but is alive. Somebody say amen. And I'd rather worship the God of the living rather than the God of the dead. Let me hear you say amen. Now that word image there is really interesting because it is where we get the word imagination. And I want you to hold on to that word in your mind here in a little bit because we're going to see it. But Christ is the express image of God. And by the way, this is the express image of Christ. Amen. Are you listening? Because if you want to worship anything in this world, worship it. And I'll tell you what, Gary, they don't like it when I say that. They say, you King James only people, you're nothing but a bunch of Bible worshipers. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is the only image allowed of God. And this is in authority over me. This is the rule. This is my God. It is my Father's voice. It is the words of God. And he magnifies it above all his name. Let me hear you say amen. This is an idol. This is a carved image of a bull. Notice the disc in its head. That was an image of of Baal or Osiris, the Egyptian sun god. And it was carved out of the imagination of someone's mind. They dreamed it up and carved it out. And God said, number one, don't worship that. But number two, he said, don't make it. Don't even make the thing. This is Dagon. In 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Philistines had a god by the name of Dagon. He was half human and half sea creature, half fish. And they had a sculpture of Dagon in their temple. And when the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, they went and took it to their God. Because their God wants to sit in God's seat. You know how the story turned out? Twice the image of Dagon fell before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Every knee shall bow. Amen? Every knee shall bow. Now here is the priests of Dagon used to wear their Dagon fish hats. The Bible says that which was is that which shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. Let me hear God's people say amen. By the way, there's another idol represented in this picture. I'll show it to you. I'll get a close-up look here in a little bit, all right? Over on the left-hand side was Isis. She was the goddess. I don't worship a goddess. I don't even worship a God that's half woman. Amen. She is the fertility goddess. She involves herself with all sorts of rituals, and you can kind of take a guess of what that's all about. She is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And there on the right, you have Isis on the right-hand side. You have Osiris, the sun god, on the left-hand side. And they have produced a child. Okay? They have produced a child. Osiris represents the heavens. Isis represents the earth. They are fused together. And they basically, that child there, that's the beast. That's the Antichrist. That's the son of Belial. That's who that is. And God said, don't build images of those things and don't worship them. The American Native Indians build totems. Those are their ancestors, their gods. God said, don't do that. And I know Native Americans, they're pretty staunch on keeping their traditions and things like that. But I want to say this, when the traditions go against the Word of God, leave the traditions and follow the Word of God. Let me hear you say amen. That's their images, their idols. And God said, don't carve them out. Buddhism is nothing but idol. And I'll say this. It seems to me that if there's a false religion out there, it's got an idol linked to it somehow, some way. Okay? That's Islam. Amen. Now, Islam, the Muslims, are pretty staunch in saying, we don't worship idols. And yet, and I saw it with my own eyes, Michael, five times a day, they lay a carpet out on the ground, and they face in this direction, and they pray to the black box, the Kaaba, they call it. And at the corner of the Kaaba is an image with a black stone in it, and they kiss that image. But they brag how they're not idol worshipers. They are. They just don't admit it, like some other people I know. What's that, Bradley? What is that? That's the angel Moron. Amen. That is the angel, an angel from heaven that brought another gospel. Amen. That brought another gospel down to this earth. And they built their temple and they put the image of the angel on top of the temple. Now they can say, oh, we don't worship that. God said, don't even make it. And they made the image. Somebody say amen. You can be mad at me if you want. God said, don't make them. Don't make the images. And by the way, let me go back to... Come on, work with me here. Let me go back to this. See her? You know how she was depicted in Babylon and Samaria and Egypt and everywhere else? She was always depicted with a disc behind her head holding a baby. That which was is that which shall be. Now let me tell you something about Roman Catholicism. And if you're a Roman Catholic, I love you. I don't hate you. I love you because I want you to know the truth. We have already established that there is a standard.
Amen.
There's a standard. Okay? And just because I don't like the number 8 doesn't mean that I can take it off my ruler. Okay? Or just because I'm guilty of number 5, I can't take it off of there. It's on there and it has to stay. Okay? So here you have, I don't have anything to do it with. Here's the Bible and here's the catechism. And in the catechism, they list the 10 commandments, but for some reason, they took number 2 completely out of the list. And they replaced it by dividing number 10 up. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Then thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house and everything else. So that there's still 10 to make it look like it measures up. But it doesn't. And you can't do that. You can't do that with the standard, with the rule, with the law. You can't do that. You can't say, I don't, well, we do this. And what you'll hear them say is, we don't worship her. We venerate her. Well, number one, when you bow before it, guess what that is? Can't do it. God said, don't even build it. Don't carve it. Don't do that. That's what God said. And if you have a hang-up with that, your hang-up, I promise you, your hang-up is not with my covenant. It's with thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That's where your hang-up is. We're not supposed to have those in our houses, in our front yards, in our gardens, or at our churches. By the way, I went into went to a funeral one time, and I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it was at a Lutheran church, and up on the stage was a big 10-foot tall statue of Jesus sitting on a throne, statue, and I'm watching this and I'm going, boy, that just doesn't look right to me, you know, you know, maybe it's just, you know, whatever, okay, you know. And at the start of the funeral, the Lutheran minister came from the back and he's got a prayer book and he's reading a prayer. Now, I personally don't read very many prayers, okay, I just pray them. But he's coming down the center aisle and he's reading a prayer and he's walking and I'm going, oh, okay. And then he walks up on the stage and he walks over in front of the 10-foot tall stone, Jesus. And he bows and he reads the prayer to the statue. And I'm going, that's wrong! Amen. That's wrong! God said so. So I don't care what house of worship it is. In fact, I'm going to show you something else. I don't care who it is or why they say they're doing it. God said it was wrong. Statue of Jesus. That's wrong. That's wrong. Not supposed to do it. This is an Assembly of God church in Florida. Big statue of Jesus coming up out of the water. Now that doesn't set well with me prophetically. By the way, this was in the news because it was struck by lightning. I don't care if it's Assembly of God, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist. I don't care. I've heard some churches that they'll have statues of angels inside their foyer. Not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do it. It's wrong. And if it's wrong for the Catholics and the Lutherans, then it's wrong for the Baptists and the Presbyterians and everybody else. It's wrong. Somebody say amen. There's something more dangerous than this, though. I'm going to get to it. By the way, that's wrong. Amen. You don't have a dead Jesus hanging on a cross carrying it around. That will not chase away all your vampires. Okay? Psalm 115, verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold. Take a look at that. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of what? Men's hands. You know what they've done? I don't know if I've got it set up here or not. See that? That's a hammer and chisel. And here's what happens, is we don't like the image of God as set forth in this Bible. So you know what we'll do? We'll start making one of our own. I want you to think about that, okay? The idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. You know, all these images, they all had a mouth, didn't they? Did you know they can't talk? They have eyes, but they see not. They can't see what you're doing. They can't see you bound down there. They have ears, but they hear not. You pray and you pray and you pray to the idol. They can't hear what you're saying. They have noses and they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Did you know I have never seen an idol get up and hold a parade down the street and walk down the street? You know what has to happen? They have to carry the idol down the street. On men's legs, not their own. That sounds like a very weak God to me. I'd rather worship the God that could walk on his own legs, amen, and speak with his own mouth and hear with his own ears. I wouldn't pray to a God that didn't hear my prayer. I wouldn't ask a God to save me that couldn't move his stone hand. I wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't recommend you do it either. They have hands that they handle not, feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. You know what the phrase the Bible uses? Dumb idols. And there's dumb idols and dumb idol worshipers. And I want to tell you something. You show that you're the religion of your life by who and what you pray to. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Now watch this. In Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, where? In their imaginations. So here we get into the hammer and the chisel. They decide that they don't like this version of God, version 1.0, which was right since the beginning. Amen. They decide that they want a different God. And this is where it gets down to you. I've been to most of your houses, and I've never seen a big Jesus or a big Mary. I've never seen a Buddha. I've never seen an angel Moroni. I've never even seen the little Buddha incense burner that you used to have. Okay? Never seen that. Let me tell you something that's more dangerous than building this big gold and silver or stone idol and setting it up in your house or in your children. Let me show you something more dangerous than that. You became vain in your imagination, and your foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what'd they do? They changed. They changed the glory, watch this, of the uncorruptible God. Right here is the uncorruptible Word. Say amen. Amen. He doesn't change. And He won't let you change Him without consequences. The uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So here's what people do. They get mad when sermons like this are preached. And they don't like it. They don't like this image of God. So they get out in their mind and in their heart a hammer and chisel. And they start chiseling out a God that is more in tune with what they want instead of having God change them to make them in tune with what God wants in their life. Instead of letting God change you, you change God. So the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. Bible says thou shalt not steal. And they change God so that now sodomites are standing up behind pulpits and saying, isn't it great that God loves us all the way we are? After all, we worship the same God. No, we don't. Because the God that I found, I left Him the way I found Him. And I didn't try to change God. I let God change me. Amen? Amen. He's still got a long way to go on us, doesn't He?
Yes.
But let God get the hammer and chisel out. Let God form the clay, amen, into His image. And not us take clay and make a new image of God. We're not supposed to do that. So here's the rule right here. Here's the standard. And if the standard says it's this way, then why don't we just all accept that it's that way?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If the Bible says it's like this, then why don't we all accept that it's like this? And let this change us. And even if we have to cut the board again, Sterling, let's just cut the board again so that the board is right. I mean, you're going to add a wall inside of a room in your house. And you bought 10-foot boards to put in your 8-foot high wall, in your 8-foot high ceiling. You've got two choices. Rebuild the entire house to accommodate the wood, or cut the wood.
Amen.
It's easier to just cut the wood. Amen. But that's not what our wicked heart wants. And so we start carving out a God that pleases and satisfies the desires of our flesh and accommodates our self-will and our rebellion and our sinfulness. And the truth of it is, that is what most churches are turning into now, is that they are carving out an image of God that is not the image of this Bible, the express image that is implied in this Bible. Let me show you the danger of it. Son of man, these men have set up their idols where? In their heart. You know what the problem is with that? You see, if you were to show up for church one Sunday morning and you come in here and you saw that there was a big statue up there, back there against the wall of Mike Hoggard. Have a meeting. Amen?
Amen.
And throw me out first, and then throw the image out. Right? You see, we don't do that. We don't build idols where everybody can see them. We carve them out and we put them in our heart where nobody can see them. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. And so we come into the house of God with our preconceived notions about who we want God to be. And then when you hear it preached that He's different than how you imagine, you're angry and you're upset. You say, well, I don't like that church. And I won't go back. Because the God that you built inside of your heart doesn't look like this one. And you're going to have to decide to either follow this one or follow this one. But you can't do both. Because they're different. He said, they have set up idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all of them? You know what he's asking? When they pray, should I listen? And God, you know what the answer is? God says, I don't think so. They've already got a God that they're going to pray to. I'm going to let them pray to that one and see how it works. He said, therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. So you carve out all the images of God that you want to, and you just figure out how you want God to be, and then try praying to the real one, and God says, no, I don't think so. Have your idols answer your prayer. Why don't you have the devil answer your prayer instead of me? That's what God said. I don't want that. Amen? I don't want that. Here's what Manasseh did. All the things that God had to deal with Israel and Judah. I mean, he put up with a lot of their junk. And he put up with them setting up groves and high places everywhere. Even Solomon. He put up with Solomon building high places and altars to other gods that his wives convinced him to do. He put up with all of that. But then Manasseh, you know, there's always one kid in class that wherever the teacher establishes the line, there's always one kid that goes, am I right? Always one. And so here's Manasseh, and God had put up with Judah for years and their idol worship. But Manasseh said, I'm going to take it up a notch. He set a graven image of the grove that he had made. Guess where he put it? Right in the house of God. That's bad. According to what I see in the scripture, it had never been done before. And Manasseh just decided to just cross the line and put an idol right in the most holy place of the temple. That's bad. Because this is the most holy place. Right here. Of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen out of all tribes will I put my name forever. So here's what God did. Here's what God said. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will, watch this, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to their enemies. Do you think God's kidding? When God says, I'm a jealous God, do you not take that seriously? So number one, we're not going to build statues in this church. We're not going to put them anywhere. We're not going to put them out in the parking lot. We're not going to put them in here. We're not, no angels, nothing. We're not going to do that. Number two, you shouldn't carve out an image of God that is not in accordance with the express image. By the way, how many of you can tell the difference between a painting and a photograph? Right? Can't you tell even the good artists paint an image of somebody's face. And we go, man, that's good. But we can tell the difference between a painting and a photograph, can't we? Or a painting and a real person. Because it's close, but it's not quite. Our eyes know the difference, don't they? And shouldn't you be able to tell the difference between the real God, whose express image you're able to see? You are now able to see the face of God here. And then when you look at a God that somebody else has contrived on television or some other church, you go, that doesn't look the same to me. And God makes it real simple, doesn't He? How many of you ever done this? You turn, you're going somewhere, you turn a Christian radio station on, and you're hearing a preacher talk or a teacher talk. You know what I'm listening for? I'm waiting until he reads Scripture. What am I listening for?
KJV.
I'm waiting for him to say half and thine and thee. That's what I'm listening for. And if he ain't saying it that way, I let me go somewhere else. I'll listen to sports talk. Okay? You see, we know the difference, don't we? And the real God, He'll hear your prayers. And He's got an arm that saves. And He's got eyes that see you. Amen? And He's got an arm that wants to take you and go, man, I love you. But I don't think you can get that same feeling from hugging a rock. I don't think you can. It's pretty useless. Worship the real God. Amen? And don't set up a false one here, secretly, privately. Don't do that. Stand to our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Alicia, would you come very quickly? I just want to ask you this morning, do you believe the Bible is the rule? The Bible is right, and everything else is wrong. And there may be, I don't know, there may be somebody here, maybe somebody out there that is upset that I preach this, but I got to preach it. And the Word of God cannot be changed just because you or anybody else says that it can be changed. We don't get to do that. And so number one, I'm going to ask that God will soften your heart. That you're not upset. That you just say, you know what? The Bible's right. And I need to get over that. And number two, the more you read the Bible, the better idea you get at who God is. When you see somebody for the first time, and then you walk away from that person, a week later it'd be hard to recognize them because you just have a faint image in your mind of what they look like. But if you see them every day, day after day after day after day, their image becomes implanted in your brain and you never forget it. Even children that have been abducted, what's his name down in Richwoods? His mother, I mean, we saw him on TV, 4 or 5 years after he got kidnapped. We knew exactly who he was. I mean, we knew who this kid was. Because we kept seeing his picture over and over and over in our mind. And I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to know the real God, look at his picture every day. It's in the Bible. And that way you won't mistake it. Maybe this doesn't have anything to do with anybody here, but if you've ever put an idol in your heart, a false image of who you said God was that did not match the express image given to you in the Scriptures, God would like to throw that thing out for you and put His real image in your heart. God would love to do that for you if you'd let Him. So Alicia's going to play a verse of invitation. I'm going to pray. And if you'd like to come down to one of these places here and pray, and say, God, I want the real Jesus in me, not the made-up one. God will put it in there for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your grace. We thank you, dear God, for, Lord, telling us the truth. And God, we want the real Jesus. not the one that we invented. And so, Father, I pray, dear God, that you would just bless this message and bless this invitation. And, Lord, do your work in Jesus' name. Alicia's going to play a verse of invitation. I'm not going to drag it out. But if God's dealing with your heart and you want the real Jesus, not the fake one, but the real Jesus in your heart today, would you come? The song says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. If you listen to that, God's dealing with your heart, you come.
After thy will.
I hope your heart and your mind is clear this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come back, be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you. Love to fellowship with you. Hear the preaching of God's word. And pray for one another. Pray for Courtney. Pray for our family. Pray for those that are sick, that God will give them healing. But pray for those that are lost, that God would give them salvation. Can I hear you say amen? Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven, that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again, and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God. And God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life, and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord
shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.